Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
In your company, a challenge? Are you battling turnover and struggling to draw key talent? Is your team not performing at the level you want? Problems present themselves through conflict, miscommunication, creative differences, unclear expectations, and motivational issues. ARC Integrated is here to address these challenges through executive coaching and customized interactive trainings. Create lasting positive change that will improve your bottom line and create a culture that attracts talent and reduces turnover by going to arcintegrated.com. That's arcintegrated.com.
What if investing in each other could change the world? I'm Joel Skeen with BizRadio.us, and this is the Mindful Marketplace.
What an awesome conversation we got brewing here today, this morning. Well, it's morning here. I don't know if it's, you know, it might be afternoon, it might be evening. You might be listening to this in the middle of the night. You wake up, you can't sleep. You think, hey, I'll listen to the Mindful Marketplace on my podcast. That would be, if that's how you want to spend your 2 a.m., I encourage it. but regardless of what time of day it is, welcome to the Mindful Marketplace, the show where we really ask the question, you know, what if investing in each other could change the world? And I'm very excited about our conversation today with Tara Brown from Self Help Credit Union, because with everything that's been going on recently in the financial sector, with what the Fed's been doing, with what, you know, interest rates have been like, but also, you know, with the collapse recently that we've seen of the Silicon Valley Bank, yet another major corporate bank that is failing and is, you know, most likely going to be receiving bailout money, government money, your money, my money, in order to prop up the collapse of another corporate bank. It brings me back a little to, it's been 12, 13 years, 14 years ago now, in 2008, near the end of 2008, when the banking system and the financial system around it, with Wall Street and the big corporate banks, all collapsed and had to be bailed out. And, you know, that was a really disastrous time. I remember I was a social worker in the Detroit area. I saw just how hard that was on regular working class and middle class and impoverished families. And those people didn't really get any bailout, of course, but the banks did. And I remember what came out of that sort of mess and that, you know, kind of rubble was a movement and a change in thinking amongst a lot of people outside and inside the financial sector that things really need to change a little bit. Things need to be done a little differently. Several movements came out of that, like the slow money movement, like the community impact investing movement, sustainable investing. A lot of the things that we talk about on this show really kind of had their birth in the rubble of what we saw happen in 2008. And a big contributing factor to this movement, and is really a type of institution that's been around for a very long time and that's been doing local investing for a very long time. Yet a lot of times people don't think about it because it is so simple and it is well kind of put together and just sort of been there for so long. And I'm very excited to get to dig in with Tara Brown, who is the director at Self Help Credit Union, here today. Tara, thanks so much for joining me on the show. I'm glad to have you. Please tell people a little bit about yourself, kind of where you come from and what got you into working in the credit union finance space.
Thank you so much, Joel. I'm so happy to be here and so appreciate you having this platform to talk about these really critical issues of investing with your values, keeping money local, supporting the kind of ecosystem that we really want to see. So I very much value what you're doing and really appreciate the opportunity to be here. So I, like you, live in Asheville, North Carolina. I am an Appalachian woman. I'm originally from West Virginia, which is a place that I love. But it's a place that is challenging to be from. My whole life, I was born in 1983, and that was a time that mountaintop removal was really starting and growing as, a main industry in West Virginia is fossil fuels, first coal and now moving into natural gas. And I really just saw the environmental destruction of my state. And, you know, again, it's a place that I really love. I live here in Asheville because I love the mountains and I love the Appalachian Mountains and I love spending time in them and, you know, all of that. So it was really pretty heartbreaking to watch, you know, the mountains being destroyed where I'm from, you know, for coal extraction. And at the same time, you know, that wealth was leaving the state. Most coal operators in West Virginia are not from West Virginia. The money oftentimes doesn't stay in the state. You know, there were some time periods where people were able to organize and get higher wages and better working conditions. And, you know, coal miners were able to make a really good living. But in the beginning and now, you know, it's a really challenging place to live where we see wealth extracted and not staying in the state. And so my whole life, I've really been oriented towards how do we build economies that are sustainable, both for the environment and the people and the communities, and how do we keep wealth local and have local determination of what we want to see where we live, right? And I've had a career where I've, you know, worked on different facets of that, from affordable home ownership to individual asset building and wealth building. And I love working at self-help now because it really encompasses a lot of different aspects of that. So self-help is a member-owned community development credit union. We are a nonprofit and our mission is economic opportunity and ownership for all. So we have a lot of different aspects of sustainable economies and local ownership that we work on. Which I know we're going to get into. You just asked how I got here, so I'll pause there. And I know we're going to talk about credit unions and financial systems and banking, but I really love my role here at Self-Help because it's really aligned with who I am as a person and what I want to see in the world.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I think what you're saying makes total sense. If you came from a place where not only the natural resources, but then the wealth was both being extracted. You know, I remember the name of the book at this point, but it was talking about how Appalachia in general, and specifically Western West Virginia is probably the best case example of this, is really treated by, you know, the financial institutions in the East and the big companies that are not from there as almost like a colony. You know, they come in, they kind of take everything that they can, they get out. And then the people who are there are just kind of left with, you know, whatever's left over after the natural resources and the money have all been extracted. I do want to definitely dig in with you a little bit about Self-Help Credit Union. Everyone, just, you know, this is a two-part episode, so we're going to be able to really dive deep here. But first, I want to talk a little bit about credit unions. You know, what makes credit unions different? And maybe we should start with, I don't know if you want to talk to this or we can kind of have a conversation around it about how banks actually work. Like, how does a bank actually make its money, and what makes a credit union different from a for-profit bank? You mentioned this your credit union and credit unions in general are nonprofit. How does a bank make its money, and what's different about a credit union?
Sure. I do think it's easier for me to start with what a credit union is. So a credit union is a member-owned cooperative financial institution. It's a nonprofit. We don't have shareholders like a bank. We don't have CEOs making billions of dollars, right? So our model at Self-Help, and it is hard for me, you know, to speak to credit unions generally, but, you know, we really want our employees to be earning a living wage at all levels, but also for our top leadership not to be earning so much that we're taking from communities, right? So we have a model of a wage cap. So no one, not even the CEO, makes more than about $120,000, I think it is at this point. And no one makes less than $20 an hour. So our tellers, everyone, you know, is earning a living wage at least in every role in Self-Help Credit Union. So we're really go ahead.
Can I ask a quick question about that? The fact that there is that cap on the high end and there is that floor for a living wage on the low end, I'm curious what that does to the internal kind of culture and vibes and structure of do you feel like that changes things for actually the workers who are there as far as their engagement, as far as their productivity, you know, all of that kind of stuff that we talk about in kind of the HR world. Is, do you feel like that fact alone, that people know that they're getting paid fairly enough and that the people above them aren't siphoning all that off, do you feel like that has an impact on culture?
Absolutely. So I do community engagement where I go out and talk about Self-Help's mission all of the time. And last year I was able to do a training for all of our staff in Western North Carolina, most of whom are tellers. That's the most common role at our branches. And I did an exercise where everyone was able to participate and say why they chose Self-Help as an employer, and if their members, why they choose to bank at Self-Help. And staff identify themselves that the pay and the benefits and all of that is the reason that they, or is a big reason why they choose Self-Help in addition to our mission, but that they really are committed to the organization and know that the organization values them because of that wage and benefit.
That was my assumption. I just wanted to check. And I also think it's important what you mentioned about the member ownership. You know, like you said, the whole point of the bank is not to make as much money as possible. It's to actually invest back into the members, who are the people who hold checking and savings accounts, the people who hold mortgages, the people who do their banking with you. Banking is such an important part of the economy for so many people. It's such an important service to offer, but things have changed so much. I remember, you know, well, actually, I don't remember this. I wish I did. But I've heard people who are older than me talk about how you used to be able to get a 3%, 4%, 5% interest rate on your savings account. You know, now my bank, they charge me to have a savings account. They charge me for the privilege of getting to use my money to go make themselves money. And then they give me a $25 fee every month to do so. And it seems like just that focus on the members and that actual ownership of the institution by the people who use it and operate it has a big impact. What do you see there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, getting back to your original question about how, what is a bank and how is a credit union different? So a bank's purpose is to make money, right? So if they're making a loan, they want to make sure that that loan is as secure as possible. They might be lending to, you know, bigger types of corporations that might have more financial stability, that kind of thing. Whereas Self-Help in particular, as a mission-driven credit union, we will make loans to people who might have lower credit scores. We might make a mortgage loan to someone who doesn't have as much for a down payment, for example, right? Because we want to serve people who've traditionally been left out of the financial system. So that's women, people of color, people in rural distressed areas. That's really our goal, and the nexus of what we do is to provide financial stability, financial opportunity to people who haven't had it in the past, whereas a bank is really looking to maximize profits and is going to want to have clients and loans to people who can maximize those profits for them, right? So that's really the main difference in between a mission-driven credit union and how a bank operates.
So if I was someone that was applying for a mortgage, let's say, and I, you know, if I went to a bank, the way that they're going to determine if I qualify at all, and if I do, what kind of interest rate they're going to give me is pretty much based on the numbers. It's based on, you know, how much money I already have, what my debt to income ratio is, you know, a lot of these figures. But it sounds like you're saying that at Self-Help and in credit unions in general, but specifically in your experience, that there's more to that determination and in setting those rates for people and in who gets accepted for those loans. What else goes into that in your y'all's decision-making process?
Yeah. So of course we still want to make sure that the person is most likely going to be able to repay the loan, because it doesn't work in anyone's favor if someone defaults on the loan, right? But we're willing to be more flexible. So take someone who has a lower credit score than a traditional financial institution, than a traditional bank would. We still look at all of the same factors. How much money are you bringing in? How much income, you know, are you able, how much debt are you able to afford based on your income, that kind of thing. But we are just more flexible in who we'll lend to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've actually seen it in my own personal business. I work a lot with new mortgage holders. Mm-hmm. And I have, you know, we used to do this out in person. I used to drive all over the Piedmont and the, you know, the mountain region. And I would sit down with families who a lot of times you might think wouldn't be able to qualify for a mortgage, but they had self-help as their lender. And they were able to actually begin that American dream of owning something here in this country, of owning their own home and owning their own property, and building equity and building an asset to leave on to their families for the future, and really breaking that cycle of where they're stuck in that renter's world because an organization like Self-Help existed. So I first wanted to say thank you for doing that for them. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry. I would just add to that, you know, a bank is going to look at the traditional credit report, which of course we look at also. But the credit reporting system leaves out a lot of bill payments that are people's primary bills that they pay. So a traditional credit report FICO score is not going to take into account your rent payments, for example, which is the biggest bill that most people have. So Self-Help will also look at alternative forms of credit, like bill payment in that respect, utility payments that aren't factored into your credit score, which is what, you know, large financial institutions, large banks are going to be looking at across the board. So that makes homeownership and different forms of ownership. And I really appreciate you bringing up those examples. It warms my heart. But that's another way that we can make loans more accessible, because we understand how people operate and we look at a person as a person instead of mm-hmm. just classifications in the financial system.
Right. Yeah, obviously, we've all got to take into consideration the financial side of business, the financial side of lending and what the numbers actually look like. But yeah, at the same time, I feel like it's very easy for the bigger the bank, to, you know, kind of treat people as a number. I also wanted to mention too, something that I think is really important, which is that credit unions in general do, which is to actually keep the money local. Could you speak a little bit to that piece of the difference?
Yes, absolutely. So Self-Help is a credit union that is expanding across the country, because so many credit unions in their history were tied towards individual employers or individual geographies. So here in Western North Carolina, there's Carolina Mountains Credit Union is a legacy credit union of Self-Help that was primarily serving DuPont workers. We also have United Services Credit Union, which is a legacy credit union that was serving hospital workers. And as Champion, right? And so as the workforce has changed and, you know, industries have moved overseas, or the types of employment have changed, as we know, you know, things going remote, people moving around, credit unions have needed different resources basically to stay afloat. So Self-Help is a credit union that has expanded to different geographies, basically absorbing those local credit unions. But we keep the money local, right? So when you are a member at Self-Help or a member at any credit union, the funds that you put in are going to be lent out to other members of the credit union and no one else, right? And a lot of credit unions are hyper local, right? Serving a small area or, you know, tied to a specific employer. So it's a really wonderful thing to know that you know where your money is going. It's going to someone else who is a member at the same credit union and not, you know, to some multinational corporation or, you know, something mm-hmm. else external.
Yeah, some Cayman Island account somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because to me, it just makes sense. If you're going to, if you listen to this show, you probably feel that it's best to do your shopping local. It's best to, you know, purchase as much as you can, whether it's your food systems, you know, your groceries, or whether it's, you know, your furniture, or what, you know, whatever it might be. We have the sense that if you can buy it local and you can afford to buy it local, it's good to do that, because it keeps so much more of the money that you spend in your local community rather than, again, sending it off somewhere else, and that doesn't really get invested back into your community. And it just makes sense that if we should spend local, we should bank local too. I'm curious, do you have any kind of sense, either whether it's in figures or just in your experience, of what kind of impact keeping that money local through lending and through banking has?
Sure. I mean, I can say just for us, just in Western North Carolina, you know, we currently have about 18,000 members and $260 million in deposits in 6 branches in Western North Carolina. And that translates into, you know, historically over $300 million in loans locally. So that would be to small businesses, to someone buying a car, to someone who needs, you know, just a little extra loans to make ends meet and or extra funds to make ends meet in a challenging time. You know, we have signature loans of up to $15,000 if you need that kind of support. It also goes to credit building loans as a product that we offer to help people with low or no credit to establish credit. So, you know, those are all the types of individual loans that we do in addition to real estate development and bigger community projects like that. So, you know, $300 million is a pretty significant number locally for us to have invested.
Absolutely. I mean, it's hard to even imagine, you know, a government program, whether it's state level or, you know, county or even larger than that, that would give, you know, a $300 million investment into our community.
Yeah.
Like when you really think about what that impact is, it'd be really cool. I know we did recently economic impact study on the French Broad River and how much that brings to the region. I think it'd be really cool to see, because it does seem like I've noticed a lot of credit unions here compared to where I lived before. And I think it'd be really cool to see an economic impact study that shows what that does of keeping the money local through banking and through our savings and lending. You mentioned kind of some projects or some other things that self-help uses that funding to work on and to create. And we're going to get digging in a little deeper here on part two for that. But I, you know, just kind of wanted to close out this half by just kind of really, I guess I'm curious, you know, a quick perspective from you on what makes that possible. To me, it seems like it's that cooperative structure, even in a way, lends to that, you know, that cooperative structure where the credit union creates a cycle of mutual assistance towards a common goal of the financial well-being of its members. You know, one member savings becomes another member's loan. There's not this kind of big middleman that things have to go through. It's my savings account is going to help my neighbors get a mortgage. The mortgage that I have is going to help my neighbors in what their financial goals are. I'm curious if you have any kind of final thoughts on that half of it here before we dive in more in detail about self-help in part two.
That was beautifully said, and I really appreciate that. And that's exactly the mission of credit unions. That's the mission of self-help. And that's the concept that I want people to be walking away from this conversation with, is just knowing that banking with a credit union, putting your investments with a credit union, is really going to support the people around you, and in many cases, the people around you who need it most. So I love the way that you summarized that. And I have a drawing that I'm not a great artist, but I have a drawing of sort of that cycle that is hard to put into words, but easy for me to visualize. But I think that you put it into words beautifully. So thank you.
Absolutely. Well, join us for part two. Go back and listen to this episode, plenty of other episodes of the Mindful Marketplace at mindfulmarketplaceshow.com. You can listen on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon Music, all those other. And please go to bizradio.us, the independent business radio network of Western North Carolina and beyond, to listen to not only this show, but plenty of other great shows and contents where every host is an entrepreneur. So thank you so much, Tara, for joining us, and looking forward to digging in with you here next time. For all of you out there, take care of yourselves and take care of someone else.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.